Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after, Mr. Wonderful, at your service. Glad to be with you. Glad to continue to be with you. I know it's a dream come true for you just to be able to hang around with me, and especially since we introduce you to all these really smart people, like our guest this half hour, Taryn Bragdon, is a new friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, but he's with an organization that is an old friend, the Manhattan Institute. Taryn is adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute and also CEO of Maine Heritage Policy Center. That's the state of Maine, in case you didn't pick up on that. And he's here to talk to us about something that's been very, it's been in the news, obviously. It's been a very important debate that's been going on now for some time, but is probably going to have a momentous week this week, probably tomorrow, in fact. And we're going to talk about that with him. Taryn Bragdon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you here. So tell the audience what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, the Finance Committee is going to be taking really a critical vote.
In the Senate.
And it will really be the first round in a series of votes over the next several weeks on federal health reform. And we'll get a sense of how this is going to play out. The Finance Committee bill is really the bill that has the most attention right now, but it's just the first step in what will be a long process in D.C.
Senator Baucus is in charge of that committee, right? Max Baucus from Wyoming?
Yes. And he's really trying to cobble together a bill that will get some kind of bipartisan support, but it remains to be seen whether or not they'll even get a single Republican vote. As you mentioned, I'm from the state of Maine, and really all eyes are on Olympia Snowe, our senator, tomorrow to see how she votes.
But that's not really going to matter in terms of the committee, because if they want to vote it out of the committee, they got the ability to do that, right?
Absolutely.
So they got the majority in the committee. So it's got to get out of committee to get on the floor of the Senate, right?
Absolutely. And then they also have to then combine with another Senate health bill.
But your senator, you're a resident of the state of Maine. Your senator Olympia Snowe, whom I warned my audience about a year, in fact, more than for several years, I've been calling, you know, it was Olympia Snowe, actually both of your senators, Collins and Snowe, and are two of the people that many people call rhinos, Republican in name only, and I was warning, you know, people were talking about you know, not having 60 senators on the Democrat side to be bulletproof on with regard to a filibuster, and I said, look, you don't have to worry about that. They got folks like Olympia Snowe, which could jump ship any time. So that her vote this week, I guess tomorrow, will be a kind of a foretelling of them having a little extra cushion on the Senate floor, right?
Right, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, because Senator Collins has indicated her opposition in conversations that we've had with her staff.
Good for her.
To some of the elements. So sometimes both of our senators vote with the Democrats, but this time it seems like Senator Collins is very much concerned about the costs and the new government controls within the Baucus bill.
Right.
And we just have to see what Senator Snowe is going to do.
All right. Well, and so now one of the things that so this is going to be a vote tomorrow, and what will that get them? Let's assume it's going to pass. The question is whether it's going to have any Republican support at all. Let's assume it's going to pass because they got maybe I shouldn't say that, because are there some Democrats on the committee that are going to be recalcitrant?
They've had some Democrats vote against certain amendments on the Baucus bill, but I can't imagine any of them will be voting against the final bill. So you're right, it's going to be passed out of committee.
Right. So it will be out of committee, and then where will it go?
Well, there's another bill that's passed out of another committee in the Senate called the HELP Committee. That's an acronym for Health, Education, Labor, and Pension. And that's another health reform bill that then needs to be combined and then voted on by the full Senate. Mm-hmm. And part of the confusion in this whole debate is there's so many different bills. It seems like the only one who doesn't have a bill is the president.
Right.
And so people are trying to figure out what's the final thing going to look like.
And folks, all these bills have also created what, my last count, Taryn, was 550 amendments to the Baucus bill.
Absolutely. And we're
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you hold on. I want to come back on that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, folks. And I wrote an article about this, folks, where I called it Healthcare Reform Ideas That Work for Small Business. And so I pointed this out. 550, think about this, folks. 550 amendments to one bill. Does that sound like reform, or does that sound like politics? 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Atlanta Rhythm Section, ARS, bringing us back. One of the great songs of theirs. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. If you want to follow me on Twitter also, you can find me at Jim Blasingame on Twitter. But if you go to smallbusinessadvocate.com, there's lots of other links there to ways you can follow me and also all the things that you can do there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. Taryn Bragdon is our guest, folks. He's a new friend, soon-to-be old friend, adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute and CEO of Maine Heritage Policy Center, and he's an expert on health care. He's been covering that for a long time. Also, a past politician. I guess you found the error of your ways and decided to get a real job, Taryn. Is that right?
Absolutely. I view myself, Jim, now as a recovering politician.
Yes, you actually escaped from the dark side, didn't you?
I did.
You came into the sunlight, didn't you, Taryn?
Now I earn a living.
Yeah. We're so glad that we were able to redeem you, Taryn. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking, Taryn. I think healthcare, instead of healthcare for its own sake, meaning that the issues that need to be fixed and addressed and logical adjustments are made, are put in place, what we now have is healthcare reform for purely the sake of politics. And that's where I think we are, and that's the reason why I think that we're going to wind up with a horrible, horrible result that's going to take over 1/6 of our economy. I mean, how else can one bill, and you say there are many, but how else can one bill have 550-plus amendments? That doesn't sound like reform. That sounds like chaos to me, Taryn. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And just the outline of the Finance Committee bill that they're going to be voting on tomorrow, and mind you, the committee doesn't even have the full language. The outline of the bill is 262 pages.
Wow. Just the outline.
Exactly.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And, you know, why are they just voting on the outline? Why don't they have the final language?
Can they? You mean they don't even have access to the language?
No, it hasn't been written yet.
So they're going to vote on a bill that hasn't even been written yet.
Exactly. There was a vote 2 weeks ago on an amendment that said before the Finance Committee votes, we need to have the final language and the final cost, and for that to be available to the American people for 72 hours.
Yeah.
And the committee voted that amendment down almost on party lines.
Okay, so the majority of the committee don't want Americans to see what's going to be the result of taking over the most intimate of element of our life, our health care.
Exactly. And it begs the question, what are they so afraid of?
What are they hiding?
Right.
And see, this is another reason why, yet another reason why, ladies and gentlemen, that I have said for months now that I don't want any kind of bill this year because I want it to fail. I want it completely to fail. And I'm not saying we don't need to have some things fixed, Taryn. I'm not saying we don't need to reform our healthcare system. I'm just saying the way it's being developed right now, in my opinion, is a big mess, and it's going to be a nightmare. And the worst thing that could happen, and I don't want anything. I don't just want the camel's nose under the tent. I want the camel to die.
Well, and that's our concern. We wrote this report on what the effect of the regulations that they're talking about now in D.C., what the effect has been on New York. New York is one of the five states with these regulations, and it's been devastating.
So you're talking about, folks, he's talking about states that already have, you know, what was it, Justice Brandeis that said the states could be great incubators for federal laws, federal policies. We have those incubators now, Taryn. Tell us about them.
Well, what happened in New York is we passed some regulations that are part of the health bills in the Senate and House right now that said that people could buy health insurance at any time, even after they're sick, and that it would have to be priced the same for everyone, regardless of whether you smoked or not.
No denial for pre-existing conditions.
Right, no denial for health status, and then same cost regardless of age. And what happened in New York is the number of people who voluntarily bought health insurance outside of their employer went from 750,000 in the early 1990s to 34,000 today.
Wow. And why is that?
Well, because what happened is the costs went up dramatically, and rather than people continuing to pay the high premiums, they just dropped out of the market. And so the people who were left in this individual market were just either very sick or very old, and the cost began to spiral for them. In insurance terms, they call it the death spiral.
Right. So what's happened is, folks, everybody knows that when you put these kinds of mandates on insurance, the actuarial elements of insurance, the cost has got to go up, doesn't it, Taryn?
Absolutely. And there's a reason why New York is just one of five states that have
these
regulations.
Who are the others? Massachusetts, Oregon?
Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, and then New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So all Northeast states.
Yes. A lot of crazy ideas come from the Northeast.
Yeah, right. They also tried something not unlike this in Tennessee, though, didn't they? Call it TennCare.
They did.
It's a failure.
It is. What they did in Tennessee is they dramatically expanded their Medicaid program and then also expanded Medicaid to some people who would normally have private insurance, and costs just went through the roof there as well.
But all of these incubators were being held out as the next great examples of how America should go entirely. And so now we're trying to pass a bill that is like those, but we already know that those strategies failed, right?
Absolutely. And there's a reason why 45 other states haven't adopted these strategies.
What's wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen? We don't even have to look to Europe or Canada to see where this system fails. All we got to do is look to Tennessee or New York or New Jersey. They don't work, ladies and gentlemen. Market solutions are not perfect, but they work. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Taryn Bragdon is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's with the Manhattan Institute, also Maine Heritage Policy Center. By the way, folks, the rest of the week, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas at the Administaff Small Business Classic, as I've been doing now for, I think this is the fifth year in a row I've done this. I'm going to be broadcasting live from there all week long, talking about small business and golf and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that. Taryn Bragdon, give us the website. Tell us how we can find you guys.
You can read more about our report on New York at manhattan-institute.org.
All right. And what about your own, the Maine Heritage Foundation?
Read about us at mainpolicy, M-A-I-N-E, policy.org.
Mainpolicy.org. All right. So check that out, folks. And Taryn, we're talking about the health care reform debate. It's now beyond debate. It's now about to become laws. What do you think is the chance? What do you think of the chances? Can't handicap for us. What are our chances of completely stopping any kind of a bill that addresses health care reform this year?
Well, I think it's probably 50-50 right now.
Really? We got that? I'll take those odds.
Well, and I think the key is that slowing down the process so Americans have time to really fully understand what they're proposing in Washington. The only way this goes through is if they ram it through without giving people time to read the bill and to understand what they're talking about.
A pig in the poke is only good at lunch, isn't it?
Exactly. Look what happened with the stimulus bill.
Right.
If it had time to understand what was in it, opposition would have mounted.
Well, and there, of course, there already was some opposition, but think about this. If we'd had time to look what was in it, we would have put more stipulations on the banks when we gave them the TARP money.
Absolutely.
Instead of being now, we're all disgusted that they're using the money, the banks are using that money to acquire other banks instead of loaning it to businesses.
Right. You're absolutely right. It's what happens when D.C. works quickly, we all suffer.
It's a nightmare. That's exactly right. That's how we got Sarbanes-Oxley, by the way.
Right.
Sarbanes-Oxley was another example of that. So 50-50, I don't like that. I wish it were better, but I have to say, I didn't think we had that good odds.
Well, that's my take right now, but it changes day by day.
But now, the key is going to be whether the Senate still has the filibuster thing. So the couple of things that could happen, if they can't get enough, they could lose some Democrats, though, right? I mean, I know they've got 60 Republican senators, right?
Right. No, but you're right. They could lose some of the 60
They could
Democrats.
Use some of the Democrats, which they very well may. If none of the Republicans vote for it, they got some Democrat senators who are up for re-election in some key states. They could lose some of those people. So if they can't get it filibuster-proof with a supermajority of 60 in the Senate, then they got the nuclear option. Will they do it?
Well, and that's the big question.
Tell them what the nuclear option is.
Well, they have the ability to ram through part of the bill through a reconciliation process, but that's really much, much more difficult. And it means that they can have, within that health care bill, some of the key elements that they're talking about, some of the changes to health insurance policies that would be so bad and it would drive up costs.
Right.
So they'd be hard-pressed to have the nuclear option and really get what they want.
With no Republicans on board, and not all of their own party, the Democrats with their own party, voting for this thing, the nuclear option could be political suicide for some of those guys, couldn't it?
Absolutely, and they will probably pay the political price next year.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, it's not too late. If you agree that marketplace solutions are best, which I do, Taryn, I've been consistent with this for over a decade, Taryn. I've been covering this. Everything I'm saying this year, I've been saying for 10 or more years, close to 12 years. I have not changed my tune at all. The market systems, the market solutions, Taryn, are not perfect, but they're much better than the government solutions. What do you think?
Absolutely. And the key is what you want to do is have a health insurance marketplace that has lots of choices, so that people can pick the plan that works best for them. What they're talking about in D.C. is restricting choices and driving up costs, so your only choice would be an expensive plan.
But even worse than that, Taryn, they don't even know what they're proposing. I mean, the people who are voting for this don't even really know, because, as you said, the law hasn't even been written yet.
Right, absolutely. And that's why it makes it difficult for people like us to figure out what exactly will be the implications of the proposal. Because they don't have the details there, it's really anyone's guess.
Would you get in an airplane with a pilot who doesn't know how to fly that airplane? Hasn't the engines haven't been perfected yet, and they don't, the pilot doesn't even know where you're going? I don't think so. That's what they're asking us to do, though, folks. Hey, Taryn, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Taryn Bragdon, folks, with the Manhattan Institute. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you in Texas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.